Okay, let's get started. So today we're going to discuss Beis Shammai, Ligar, Yishel, and Kinmot, Zabar, Eras, Zabar. We know there's a Beis Shammai version of this, correct? That's the Mishnah. And there's also, presumably, even a Beis Hillel version with respect to Zivug Rishon. All right, so Eras, Zabar has both significance, grounds for divorce. Sorry, Daniel, we're subjecting you to this sigya so soon after marriage. But the question is, how do we define erva zavar? Right? Legar shenamu ken matzaba erva zavar. If you remember from the Gemara in Daf Tzadi gave us one piece of insight right from the outset. In the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, what do we get from that Gemara? What is davar? So according to Beis Hillel, it's o erva o davar. And according to Beis Shammai, how do they read edim? Edim, yeah. Right, so it's got to be established on the basis of two edim. That's a limud from dini mamonis. Davar davar mi mamon. Correct? Okay. The Yushalmi seems to walk that back. So on page 34, you have the Yushalmi's commentary on the Babli. So we get Vahatani. Let's get about what? Oh, it's not projecting. Benji and I had many conversations over Shabbos about the nature of the physical world, you know, the nature of its existence. Yes, whether it exists, whether it's all Hashem in some way. Waiting for this to go on.
People think that they're like, we're brothers. You do look alike.
I hear
like
that.
Someone came up to me, didn't know me, and said, all right, I know your brother, Sam. Like, I don't have a brother named Sam.
Good. I've gotten people come over and they're like, I've had people come over and they're like, I know who you are. You're Itamar's brother. Okay. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein li ela hayotze mishim erva bilvad. Minayin hayotza verosha paruats tadeh perumin uzroseh chalutzos. So this seems to be some sort of unbecoming dress, right? Wild hair. It's actually an interesting question whether perua. I always thought perua meant wild, not just uncovered. Am I wrong about that?
Yes, it's usually just like letting the hair grow long or something.
Right. I think that. Yeah. So I noticed that Koren translates it as uncovered, but maybe that's a very theory-laden interpretation already. So we have Verosha Prua, wild hair. It's Tzadeh Prumin Uzroseh Chalutzos. So I guess borrowing from Rashi's interpretation of Bavli, it's some form of immodest, revealing, like open shirt or something like that, or open sides, Rashi said, like the way the woman in France dressed in his days. Didn't Rashi say that? Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik used to tell us that Rashi is like one of the best sources for like what went on in medieval France. Because he like, there's no record, like who kept record of these things? But Rashi and his like parish always drops things of like, oh, like this is what happens around us. So it's just a nice tidbit.
Like in secular history?
Yeah, in secular. Like how do you know when I'm... Oh, because like Rashi drops like a comment about this is how the Adomios and... France walked around. Okay. Nice little tidbit. Ma mikaimin. So what do you get from this phrase? This phrase seems to say that what? Abe? Abe or A-B?
Abe.
What's Yishalmi? What's the point of Yishalmi?
It doesn't seem to be referring to Abe before. It's just like not necessarily Aiden, just like generally like open, like everyone knows.
Yeah, the Yishalmi clearly drops the standard from Mishum Erva, which let's say means infidelity. And the Yishalmi itself says, no, Yotzev Rosha Purat, so that proves Rosh Hashanah, Matzav Erva Stavar.
Like an unmarried woman who like kind of
doesn't
previously to us. Like
what's that?
She's like kind of just someone who's now like conducting herself.
Yeah, it's like a weaker form, right? It's diluting. It's not doesn't require actual infidelity. It's sufficient that there's some sort of, we'll call it davar keyword, unbecoming behavior that Bar creates in the body. Right, so I think that Yushalmi is lowering the requirements even within Shitas Beis Shammai. Josh?
I'm a little confused by what the Yushalmi is saying. Are they saying that they're reading Erva as Pitzu, or are they making a drush on the word Davar?
Yeah, I think it's Erva's Davar. It doesn't have to be Erva per se.
It's a drush on Erva's Davar.
Exactly. So Erva's Davar in the Yushalmi's reading, or their report of Beis Shammai, the report of Hatani Beis Shammai, is that it doesn't require action, it doesn't require, Davar doesn't refer to the requirement to read it. It's just lowering the threshold for what's considered grounds for divorce. Right, all within this big picture description of Erva's Davar, but it's even, you know, Yotza, Barosha, Perua, etc. Okay, everybody agree with that reading of the... So it's just, the Yushalmi significantly limits, or broadens, I should say, what constitutes Erva according to Beis Shammai. And let me, once we're in the Yushalmi, let me flag a related point. It's not important for this discussion how you define Erva's Davar, but it's a fascinating correlating principle. So what's going on? The sign you showed me in like see this too. Sorry, tell us about it. What's going on?
Yeah. So you also said that so about the Mida and other people who are usher.
Yeah.
So since the King Rishon says, oh, she should even like not do any makeup or so beautification.
Yes. When a woman is menstruant, when she's a Mida, lo tichko v'lo tifkos aja tavo b'mayim. What does that mean? She shouldn't.
Tipples,
she shouldn't put on makeup, right? Or,
that's why tipples call.
What?
No.
No, tipples is a language of like a hole, I think. Like you do some sort of blue thing around the eye. I mean, it was like some sort of
shadow.
Eye shadow.
Eyeliner.
Yeah, eyeliner. Thank you. Our nanny has really crazy eyelashes. So when a woman's in Nida, she shouldn't do these things, according to this Kenyan where we're showing it. This is a machlok, it's a major machlok, because you have some Baldi also, about the extent to which there are, how far the harchakos, the distancing between a husband and wife are, during the time for the duration of Nida. That's the Kenyan where we're showing it. Maybe Akiva disagrees.
Says, because then she's going to attractive as her husband, and then he'll come to want to divorce her.
Yeah, it's a very striking tension. Rabbi Akiva says, if you impose too many restrictions on the woman's ability to adorn herself, beautify herself while she's a Nida, then it's going to cause like friction in the marriage. Right? Like the husband won't see her as beautiful or as pleasant, etc. So who knows in a scene of Baligarsha? And then we'll talk about this phrase. He'll contemplate or he'll come to a decision to initiate a divorce. Everybody see that? So Akiva?
It sounds like you can't have either way, where let's say she does put on makeup, she looks nice when she's Nida. Then that sounds like it's not a good situation.
It's too attractive.
Right. And now I understand the side of saying, like, if she's not taking care of herself or not trying to make herself look good, then that's not going to...
Yeah, it's real tension.
That's a whole,
right?
True, but, like, this sounds kind of like issues in Fox Color, where, like, someone has a physical desire, and we say, like, you can act on it, but then you're going to come to realize that that's not really what creates a good marriage. And so, like, a little bit of time later, you're going to realize, like, oh, this was a good idea. Kind of sounds like this. Like, oh, if she's a Nida and she doesn't look good, then you're going to want to divorce her. Well, then the marriage shouldn't have been consummated in the first place. You know what I'm saying? Like, why should we be worried about that?
I think life is delicate sometimes, and the thought here is the Torah wants to navigate a good path. Right? So I don't see the... You're saying your objection is that maybe Akiva's view doesn't make sense?
Yeah.
Why?
Because we're protecting him from something that he should.
We're protecting, I guess, her. Right, that.
Or
protecting the marriage, that it shouldn't be so easily breakable.
We shouldn't have to rely on this for it to be easily broken. Like, I understand that it's easier if we do rely on this, but I feel like that shouldn't be. Shouldn't happen.
What shouldn't happen?
We shouldn't have to say, oh, if she's not wearing makeup, then there's a real chance that they're going to get divorced because he's not going to find her jacket.
Right, you're saying marriages should be more sustainable than that?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I agree. The reality is, like, they might not be, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I can't peer into the hearts of all spouses, right, and kind of tell you, like, people's inner thoughts and beliefs. But the jurist is concerned about it, right? The jurist is basically saying, as a policy, if you're too strict on the harchakos of Nida, then you could end up breaking apart marriages. No? So the cool thing here is the Gemara says, Asya dizkenim kibbe shamai, but Rabbi Akiva kibbe hillel. Tell us about that, Zecharia.
Right, so saying that dizkenim kibbe shamai, and therefore they're not concerned, they might admit to Rabbi Akiva about the reality of the, you know, the yearly heroes, but they say, well, it's not going to be no sinesina with Garsha because he needs a much higher objective justification to divorce her, so therefore, you know, that's going to happen.
If you hold be shamai, then, Akiva, this is a variation of what you're saying, right? The whole, the beauty of Beis Shammai's view is that marriages are not so fragile, right? They're only breakable under cause of Erbas Davar. So fine, right? Like, even if there's no attraction under the kingdom where we show him, between the couple, that's still not going to be grounds for divorce. It's not going to lead to a divorce. Whereas if you hold like Beis Hillel, it's kind of strange. Why not just say Rabbi Akiva, right? That's the Rashba's issue, right? Rabbi Akiva just said Matzakar is not. I mean, that's just Rabbi Akiva Shitaso. Then marriage is much more fragile, and you have this concern within Hilchos Nida, right? So what? Why am I bringing this up? So I just want to make one point, and that is that it's like a. Well, 2 points. One is like, it's a Freakonomics type of observation. Right? Have you guys read Freakonomics?
Yeah.
I never read it. you know, the thought is that there's some social phenomenon and then it has these downstream effects, unexpected. And there's a version of this within the laws of Evan Hazard. Right? Here's one rule about Geirushin that we have in Mishnah Daf Tzadi. You can't be blind to the unexpected consequences of that in other areas of halakha. Right, so what you hold in Hilchos Geirushin really ripples through and then affects the logical space of what you could hold within Maseches Nida, right, within your Yardea. Everybody see that? This is at least my second point. It's almost what you see from this Yushalmi is that you can't isolate some of these sigyas from each other. Like you can't just treat the grounds for divorce as an isolated halachic question because it's locked into this whole system of our notion of marriage, right? So the laws of Nida have to be calibrated to the justificatory grounds of Geirushin. Does everybody see that? And I think that's what this Yushalmi captures so nicely. We'll see this in when we talk about our next sugya, Nasan Einav L'Garsha, how that affects like Hilchos K'suba. What the purpose of the K'suba is, and you have like a takanos of Einav Geirushin, how that affects this whole equation. So it's a caution. Yushalmi is, I think, a very sharp illustration of the dangers of isolating these various sugyas from each other. Okay? Sorry, you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the Yushalmi was a little odd, isn't that it's kind of assuming that the badness of this phenomenon is just the no seeing of the Darsha, not the ability of the heroes?
Yeah.
Right. So like Kingdom of Shodan are fine with like it'll pitch Hama, it's fine with like him having Merrick where you know he's disgusted with her, but they're locked in, so far so good. You know, like this seems a little bit of odd perspective.
Ahi atzma may via lidei ki'iros. Well, I think as an empirical fact, the wife will be less beautified. She will cease to beautify herself during the duration of Nida. Right? So, okay, what's the cost of that?
Right.
So, okay, there's less affection. Right? Less maybe goodwill, if that's empirically true, right? Okay, what's the cost of that? So you might say, well, it's a good thing from the laws of Nida perspective if you don't want attraction like during this duration. But what's the cost to the conception of marriage? So according to Beis Hillel, or let's say even Rabbi Akiva, the cost is exorbitant. You've just created, the laws of Nida create grounds for divorce.
Right.
Right? That destabilizes the institution of marriage, right? But not according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai, what's plausible about it is like, no, like the grounds for divorce are very hard to meet, and then you have much more flexibility in specifying the laws of Nida. Really?
Yeah, I think the point is that our formulation or understanding of Rabbi Akiva's opinion, like relegate even Rabbi Akiva's opinion to just a legal concern for how it affects the our conception of divorce, rather than saying, maybe taking up even at a certain, at a kind of stage, and saying, no, he's actually saying it's negative for him to feel that way in the marriage, regardless of whether or not he's going to divorce, right? Is the concern that he's going to divorce her, we're anti-divorce? Or is the concern that he should feel like his wife is ugly and terrible, and yes, also, meaning, who knows if it's in a validarsha, right? You say no one of course.
So say that again.
I think it's deflationary what's happening in Rabbi Akiva because you're suggesting that all that Rabbi Akiva is saying is we're concerned that we're gonna it's such a big deal because he's gonna get divorced. But why is it it's such a big deal because he's gonna have all this like negative feelings as well.
So I think it's harder.
That's what I'm saying. You said that question, right? You're saying my answer is that. That's your so let me take another stab at that.
What I meant to say is that another way of putting this is not that we're concerned per se about divorce. You could view it as your shita about divorce reflects what you think about the brittleness of marriage. Right, so the question is, like, what is the significance of there not being affection for, let's say, half a month between the husband and the wife? So, according to Beis Shammai, the cost is that there's just no affection. And that's fine. That's okay. That's not a big deal. According to Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel, that is a big deal because that itself undercuts like the anchor of marriage. The haraya triggers valid grounds for dissolution of the marriage. So another way of saying this is not that they're chosheish about how many divorces will be generated. Maybe on your reading of the Hina, going back to that, you know, there's some halakhic value per se and there not being so many divorces, you could read the Yerushalmi that way. But I think a stronger way of reading the Yerushalmi, or at least one that gets at a more fundamental interpretation, is that the question is there some chalos that is triggered by the Hilchos Nida prohibition of putting on makeup. According to Beis Hillel, yes. According to Rabbi Akiva, yes, right? Like, you've now, in a certain way, undercut the bonds of this marriage, as evidenced by the legitimacy of divorce now. Whereas, according to Beis Shammai, like, no, marriage, like, is much more durable than that. Does that help, or?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was intending to say, but it's good that you got extracted the better formulation. Any questions on that? Or Benji, does it sound good?
Yeah.
Kobe, how's it sound? Thumbs up?
Yes.
Okay. Ezra?
Couldn't you just say, like, that's not the point, like, that's not what they're arguing about, meaning that the Beit Shammai still think, like, he doesn't think that marriage... Never mind.
Okay.
Good.
All right. So that's the Beit Shammai, and we have the second point of Beit Shammai, not so much about Erev HaSavar, but we could say Beit Shammai is clearly telling us, especially on this better read, that Erev HaSavar speaks to a much more solid, resilient conception of halachic marriage. Fair? Okay. So two important points from Shami, Rosh HaPerua, but also I would just say the resilience. The resilience of marriage in the face of, challenges of lack of affection, especially when they stem, or in that case, when they stem from Hilchos Nida. Let's now turn to the Rashba in Chelek Aleph Siman Tav Kuf Nun Zayin just for a second. This will introduce us to a related question. This is not about defining Erev HaSavar, but a related question about Rishus versus Mitzvah as it relates to the grounds for dissolution in marriage. So this is a very well-known tshuva of the Rashba. It's not really the Rashba, it's probably the Ravid or the Ibn Palat. There's different versions of who is the author of this tshuva. What is the Rashba worried about here? Sorry, I don't want to talk about this Rashba yet. I want to talk about this Rashba for a second. Aleph Yud Ches, sorry. What is the Rashba worried about here? Bold question. Yeah, Rami?
Why the bracha? Oh, what does it make bracha on?
Big mystery, right? Why some brachos have mitzvahs, others don't. It's pretty clear you can't have a unified theory for this thing, and so there's a potpourri of answers that are given to different types of cases. Among the cases is the question of gerushin, right? Why isn't there a bracha when you give a get? There's this question for tshuva also. Why isn't there a bracha when you do tshuva?
There's no mice.
What?
There's no mice.
You're already getting answers. It's a question that's out there. Sometimes the question is more interesting than the answers. Isn't Vida a mice that or something? A verbal question.
Yeah, verbal, dry articulated.
You have to articulate it.
You can never know if you actually did tshuva.
Why are you guys more excited about tshuva than about gerushin?
Oh,
sure. So the Rashba, or the Ravid in this version of it, Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat here gives an answer. So what's his answer? Josh, take us through it. Yeah, Shalom Matzabah Dvar Avera Umigarsha. Right? I mean, like, you didn't find any wrongness in her, and you affect the divorce. That's probably the Rashba. That's, it's hard to say the Rashba, it's not the Rashba, but Dvar Avera, maybe that's meaning Dvar Erba, right? Some wrongdoing, maybe. But, so that's when it's an Avera, that's fine. The Afal Pi, so notice that's the raya that the Mishnah Melech brought, that Lo Yigarish Adamishto is not just Eitza Tova, but there's actually some Isser involved. And that's why he didn't make a bracha. And what does he say? The Afal Pi.
The Afal Pi Shiyesh Mitzvah B'Mik Satan. He goes, Otan Nashim Shemaskin Da'avera, Shemitzvah Ligarshan. Lo Kligi Rabbanam, Ligarish Shivarak B'Mik Satan, Ligarish Shivarak B'Mik Satan.
So it's a little plug, right? We don't want that. Some gerushins have a mitzvah, others don't. What's striking about the Rashba here, Josh?
He doesn't say the other side of the coin, where, like, by saying that, gerushin, like that some cases of gerushin are avera, and he doesn't say that some cases of gerushin. He doesn't use the same example for mitzvah. He uses
right.
A completely different example.
Correct. The way he cuts up the sets here is intriguing. He says, Mixas arba avera, like when you divorce, no justification. Right? Fine. But then, Mixasan are mitzvah. Which are the mixas that are mitzvah?
If you marry somebody the wrong
person. Osa nashim shenasu ba'avera, shemitzvah legarshan, like if a kohen marries a grusha. Right? Or whatever other type of chayvei lavin marriage, that's what it is. Then there's the mitzvah to get divorced. What should he have said?
Divorce or whatever.
Yeah, you should have said, like our Gemara talks about mitzvah legarsha in some cases. Right? That we saw from last year. So it's striking that the Rashba, when he talks about mitzvah, it's just weird that he goes for the cases of Isha Shenasa Ba'avera. I'm just going to say Chayvei Lavin for short. No? Everybody notice that? It's just very striking. Why not say that there's a mitzvah in the cases of Erev HaSavar? Like our Gemara seems to say, like Rashi Al Torah said, right? In Suparsha. Mitzvah Ligarsha for Erev HaSavar. So maybe it's Meduyak that he doesn't really think there's a mitzvah Ligarsha in those cases. Right? Otherwise, that would have been the natural contrast to the Avera Shalom Matzvah Dvarev, and everything else is a mitzvah. Right? Like, the mitzvah set is just the negation of the Avera set. Sounds almost like he thinks, like, no, there's some, you know, Rishus type thing in between, and the Avera, and the mitzvah cases are just Chayvei Lavin. Daniel?
Could you definitively say that, though? Because he uses the word to go as just. Great, it's not a stark contrast doing the examples give, but like what other cases then are there? You're saying that not just cases of every summer, but then there are cases of
That's true.
And
it's
because these two seem to say they're more than just this type of case of private love because we go for attention.
Sure, it's true. Maybe just giving like an uncontroversial, like the best type of case that he could possibly. So it's an open question how valid this diak is, how valid this inference is. I agree. Sakarya?
Is it so obvious that the mitzvah here that the Rashba is choosing to discuss is actually mitzvah skirshin? Like, I don't know, in those cases, is the mitzvah like, oh, there's actually mitzvah skirshin, or is the mitzvah like, lifoshin in aveira? Right? I would actually kind of think maybe the Gemara, our Gemara's case, like, kutza or other thing, is actually much more compliant than that would be like, oh, mitzvah skirshin aveira, like, oh, or, well, let's say, like, you know, pulling to a grusha. Maybe she's a, you know, very small woman, like, you know, like, I'm not sure if the mitzvah per se is really
My intuition is the opposite. My intuition is like, is to say that to the, of this set of cases where there's mitzvah ligarsha, some are about ishus, in which case you could say, yeah, there's a mitzvah ligarsha, and other are more about, there's so many surim going on attached to the marriage, it's a good thing to get divorced. And I would have thought that maybe Isha, arguably, Chayvei Lavin is more about marriage itself, right? This is a prohibited Ishas.
Right.
So then there's a mitzvah in Hilchos Gittin to get divorced. That's in the, as opposed to maybe even our cases. That's my intuition as to why the Rashba picks out this case as mitzvah legarsha. It's like, oh, Isha Ra, mitzvah legarsha, that has nothing to do with marriage. That's just it's bad for your neshama. Be in association with somebody who's, you know, feeding you machalos asuros. That's why I think he goes for this case. It's one explanation for why he goes for this case. At the very opposite extreme, and I'll take your hand, I want us to come back to our Barbanel. You guys know there's a great book on the Barbanel called Statesman, Isaac Barbanel, Statesman and Philosopher. By?
Netanyahu.
Yeah, Benzion Netanyahu. It's a fun read just for that. Then you can read Josh Cohen's book, The Netanyahu's, and get all the dirt on Benzion Netanyahu. Won the Pulitzer, I don't know if anybody came across the book. It's good hot in there. So the Barbanel here writes, what does he say in our Parsha? When he's talking about the Chiluf HaMizagim, right? When he's debating the Catholics.
He says that there's a mitzvah for Nisuin, it only like makes sense Nishita, there's a mitzvah for gerusha.
Yes. And let's say even more than that, he says, you know, the Catholics say that divorce is unnatural, only marriage is natural. He says, no, decay is also natural, right? That things come apart. Right, that's what he says over here. She says, in Bihyosa Mischalefes Mimenu Betivo Mizgare, Enena Etzame Atzam of the Basar Mipsaro, the Eich Yidbaka Adam Asher Bazem Ishto, the Haila Basar Echad, the Yosam Hamizagim Betivim Shonim Ode. Hine, go ahead, Josh. Yeah, notice that, right? In the same way that the Nisuin was Mitzvah, so too the Gershon was Mitzvah. So notice this phrase, Mitzvah, in the context of simply an ill-suited union. So if you look over, so coming back to this chart over here, you have the Shuvim, Ibn Palat saying, well, look, the paradigm of Mitzvah Ligarish is Chayvilavin, right, when the Nisuin Averson was Bavera. Ibar Benel kind of says, no, the Mitzvah, he doesn't say Rishos, right? Remember, the whole thrust of Ibar Benel's analysis is that Bachra HaTorah, the Torah kind of chose, it's not just a license, but like there's kind of a Mitzvah to dissolve a bad union, like a poorly suited union that's not going to achieve those five folios. So Ibar Benel wants to go say that it's, just going to use this, phrase of his, incompatibility, right? He thinks in those cases there's a mitzvah like garbage. Kobe?
Just in the Shu'a Gashka, when he says, does he think Gershon is some sort of like law that they're going to say kind of thing in that case?
I don't think so. I don't think he'll say that the Gerushin is Nita Klase. I think he would say that it's just when you're in a prohibited union, there's a mitzvah to dissolve it. But I don't think that it remedies the initial wrongdoing. We have to check. We have to check whether there's Chiv and Malchus, but I think there is Malchus for those who serve. I don't think we view it in Nita Klase. Yeah, but it's just a mitzvah, right? It doesn't have to be associated to the original law. I don't think it has to be associated with the original law. But let me just say, coming back to Zakaria's point, I do think the Rashba of Chayv Lavin could be viewed, and Kobe, this is, I think, congenial to the point you're suggesting, the Haimu, that this is internal to the structure and institution of marriage. Whether you go so far as to say it's fixes or remedies the original wrong, that's an interesting question. But this is a Hilchos Gerushin type, this is a Hilchos Isha's mitzvah, right? Did everybody see that? Or at least my response to Zakaria? I think the beauty of the Barbanel's analysis is that you got the same thing. Right? The Barbanel's whole point is that the Torah's conception of marriage is supposed to be etzem et samai, davak v'ishto v'hayu basar echad. And when that's not the case, mitzvah l'garsha. Right? So it's also Hilchos Isha. Just at a very different type of breaking point than the Shubas HaRashba or the Ibn Palat is. Okay. Ezra?
But both of these opinions are like, they're each extreme. Both of them don't seem to make sense with the Gemara. Because they both think, wait, the Shubhaka thinks that it's not actually a Dabar, and the Barbanel thinks it's even less.
Maybe they just didn't, they weren't as obsessed with the Gemara as you were.
Isn't it pretty clear from the Gemara that...
What's pretty clear from the Gemara?
That it's a mitzvah to be Megara Shusha when, like, they give cases,
Right, but I think one way of reading the Gemara is that the Gemara is not really a Hilchos Ishus type of ground for divorce. It's
so would they have agreed to that then?
I don't think I don't think they're saying the Gemara is not like the Gemara doesn't matter. I think they'll just have a story to tell about why the mitzvah ligarish in those cases is really external to it's not a mitzvah's gerushin. right? Anybody think of an example?
Example.
It's like if I were to say, go move to Israel to help your brother. Let's say there's no mitzvah of Ishavaras. It's a mitzvah. By the way, it's a mitzvah for you to move to Israel to take care of your ailing parents. Just an example. Like the mitzvah there doesn't flow from Ishavaras Israel. The mitzvah flows from Nevos Kibbut Avim, right? But I'll say, like, it's a mitzvah for you to go to Israel. So you could wonder if you're Gemara and Gittin, is that the Gemara saying, oh, it's a mitzvah for you to get divorced, but it's not a mitzvah geirushin. Make sense? Yeah.
All right. I think my favorite form of support for this is a Bulgarian called Dasa Moshe case. All cases where it directly affects the Baal, it's not like she's just an environment. It means like, oh, she's feeding him trade.
Yeah.
She's
a mitzvah legarsha because of Hilchos Yerideya.
Right.
Right, yeah, so we'll get to that. Okay. Great. Let me give you what I think is another shita on this issue of mitzvah. So over here on the Mar Makomo sheet, we have the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, Mitzvah Kuf Pei Dalid. It's on page 38. So the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan is, anybody know? The smock, very good. Who is? Rabbi Yitzchak of Korbei, from the school of the Baal Yitosos. And it's a Sefer HaMitzvos, but it's really like supposed to be a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch type of work. It's not a, yeah, it's supposed to give practical advice, but how do you organize practical advice? We're so accustomed to the Shulchan Aruch scheme, but, you know, before Shulchan Aruch existed, there's an open question, so you can choose the Aleph phase, or you could choose the mitzvos, and his mitzvos were organized based off the day of the week. He has like mitzvos shebeguf on one day of the week, and mitzvos delay on a different day of the week. And I think the smach, Sefer Mitzvos Katan, has the infelicitous habit of always misformulating mitzvos. No. He just always has a weird formulation, and you could get very excited by them and just say, oh, he's like a hitch in every mitzvah. Or just be that he wrote somewhat imprecisely and kind of used formulation. Like, examples, he has like a list, Sakil Bitsitsis, kind of a mitzvah. And I was like, what? The Sakil? And the Pesukim do say Risa Mosos Harben. So maybe there's a ground in the Torah to say that. But for many of the mitzvahs, he just has strange formulations, in my opinion. Here, too, he has a strange formulation. Because mitzvah kuf pei dalet is legar reshasa isha. No? Kobe said. Strange formulation.
It's not that strange.
You know, it just means in the abstract, like the mitzvah pertaining to getting divorced. It's like the chassidim say. The chassidim say, since Kobe and Ezra are so upset by his tshuva, you know, the mission in Yuma says, So their answer is that no, everybody wants to do an Avera at least once, so they'd be Mekayim Mitzvah of Tshuva. Right.
It's like not one.
It's an outlook. It's one way of thinking about a system of mitzvahs. I think many of us would be fine, like saying better not to sin at all than to, or like Tshuva is kind of like Veheshivas like Zelash or Gazal. Once you did the wrongdoing, then there's some remedy. So you can see somebody reading the smock, like, oh, mitzvah legari shesaisha, like, you have to be kind of mitzvah, you have to at least get divorced once. Yeah. See somebody reading the smock that way. Wouldn't advise that reading. But I think it's just an infelicitous formulation. Legari shesa isha yachsev kimatza erbas davar v'chasav asefer krisis v'nasan biyada. Erbas davar kigon overas aldas Moshe machilasa she'ena musha or mishamshasa nida v'lo kotze lachal v'noderas v'ena mekayemas. V'chigon overas aldas Yehudis sheyotza b'shuk v'rosha prua filu kalasa al rosha em yotza l'rshasa rabim. And he has a little bit of a thing in his day. What if you're walking mechatzer lechatzer? What type of dress is appropriate, etc. So, what do we get from the Sma? What kind of? What's he saying? From it.
In certain cases, the mitzvah of the
rosary. Yeah, I think the best reading here is he's trying to say that there's a mitzvah of the Dari Shasa Isha in cases of Erebas Dabar. Which is really a version of the Yishalmi that we saw. Correct? I think that's what he's doing. So I would say that if we read the Smach this way, meaning we accept Ligare Shesa Isha as the mitzvah, but under the right condition. Right, when there's proper cause. Notice, by the way, that's different from which other monad mitzvahs that we saw. Rambam. What did the Rambam think the mitzvah was?
When you're divorcing, divorce with a get.
Yeah, if you're going to get divorced, when you're getting divorced, keep, etc., then do it with the method of a shah. My father likes to point out the analogy to vidui. Rambam thinks it's a mitzvah of tshuva. It's not a mitzvah of tshuva, it's a mitzvah that when you're doing tshuva, to be mitzvah with that. Right? So it's kind of like the method of how you do it is the mitzvah, not to do it, per se. So the smak is very different from the Rambam. The Rambam says the mitzvah is when you're being megarish to a bishtar. The smak is saying the mitzvah is ligarish as a isha, unqualified that would be outrageous. Right? But Ligari says Isha under when the Erebas Davar Averas Alas Moshe Alas Yudis obtains. Sounds reasonable. So we have a third shita then, the Smach. And I guess you could say this is the Gemara Kipshuta, at least the way Zachari was reading our Gemara Natsadi Kipshuta. The mitzvah of Gerushin is to get divorced when there's erbas davar loosely construed. Would you agree with that? And that's a third conceptualization of when there is an obligation, a mitzvah, to get divorced. According to the Rambam, you might say there never is a mitzvah. And the Torah never pushes you to get divorced, arguably, as a mitzvah. But on these three characterizations, and I think just by nature of this smak codifying this as a mitzvah saseh, you have to say it's internal to Hilchos Gerushin, right? Like, it would be weird to say that this is really grounded in the chashash of eating non-kosher food, when this is the sui generis, like, this is the mitzvah of Gerushin. No? Or that? I think that's the best interpretation. I suppose somebody could say, well, it's a mitzvah, but really, it's really got yisr nida, and yisr chala, and yisr prohibited food substances. Sorry, do you agree with that?
Yeah, no.
So I think also here we say this is the Hilchos Isha. Wow. Nice. Just like got off the plane and
I missed the 9 o'clock train, so
like, where's Ned? Ned, he like asked me if I was like driving from Philly to
Philly.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm like I'm driving and he never got back in touch with me.
Philly,
okay, so he wasn't in Philly. Yeah. He asked me for a ride, and I said yes. Then I ordered for him, so I guess he never should. He never made it. I used to go to Penn, not to Larmerian.
He had lunch from my apartment.
Yeah, I forgot.
Okay, got it.
Last night,
Okay. Everyone good with that reading of the smock? Yes? Now, we have other formulations of mitzvah lagarsha. We have Rashi and Kiseitze. Kimatzeba erbas davar. Mitzvah alav lagarsha shelo timtzachen beinav. Again, but that's just borrowing the language of the Gemara. That formulation exists. I think what's nice about the smock and the is that these are naturally conceptualized as hilchos ishus halachos. But of course, we have our Gemara. So we have Rashi, mitzvah lav lagarsha shelo timtzachen beinav. We have our Gemara, of course, which we'll look at again. And that gets codified in the Shulchan Aruch. Here's the give you the formulation in our Gemara, of course. Ro'as Yisha Yotze V'rosha Pru'a V'tovah V'shuk V'pru M'shnei Tzedev V'chetzim B'nei Adam Zu Mitzvah Min HaTorah L'Garsha. Very strong formulation, right? And I would say, by the way, the fact that the Gemara itself cites Ki Matzeba Erbas Davar implies that the Bavli is endorsing this as like a reading of the Pasuk of Girshin. Like Yishami. But also like the smock, I think, that this is arguably the mitzvah of Gedershin. Just from the fact that it comes from the pasuk of Gedershin. Unless you want to say the pasuk itself is really just embodying values of, you know, Sefer Vayikra, Machalos Asuros, or Isser Nida. You could read it that way.
Okay. Questions or comments on this? Everyone good with this so far? Rami?
The smock reading and this and reading the Gemara and Rashi, those are just, that's the standard, that's like the pshat, right? That there's a, I mean, if you're going to say there's mitzvah lagarish, that should be in the case of the nervous davar, and those are all just like the smock is a variation because he defined nervous davar differently than other people do, or than some other people do.
I would say the Gemara definitely says there is a mitzvah to divorce a woman in cases of whatever you want to characterize this, called just Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. Let's just use that phrase. The question, I think, still is open whether that's a mitzvah of Gerushin, that that's the best way to conceptualize Dvarim Chaf Dalid, or that's just a way to ensure that you're not violating Yisurim. Of like here, the Gemara talks about, I guess not in our sugya, but the parallel sugyos that talk about machilo, chala that's not separated, and chumos that's tevel, right? You don't have to reduce that to hilchos gerushin considerations. Yeah, like why would the Rambam not say that mitzvah gerushin is to divorce a woman? When why would the Rambam just not say, why start telling me that it's like Garish Vaksad? Isn't that kind of weird? And why would the, you're telling me this is Chad in Gideon Daftzadi, and I guess this is what Ezra was complaining about earlier. So like, why is the Chibas Arashba then go ahead and say, oh, Yesh Mitzas the Mitzvah Kigon Chai Velavin? Like, there's much lower hanging fruit in Gideon Gemara at the end of Gideon. It's commenting on the mission of Lohi Garish Adamel and Kim. I think they must have felt, like my response to Zakaria, that that's not the mitzvah of Gershin. The mitzvah of Gershin really pertains to like these other things. Right? And that sugya should be best explained as like a ben adam l'chaveiro or ben adam l'atzma about your religious observance. Make sense for me? But I think it's striking that they move away from the they don't pluck this Gemara as the makar. Sorry, do you agree or?
I'm not sure. I mean, maybe it is addressing the Gershon possibly. I don't know.
Right, I'm saying Gittin Tavtai does say Shneimar Kimatzeh Erev Hasdavar Shechem Beis, though.
Right, so yeah. I mean, I think it's like the burden of proof is to say that this isn't the Gershon halacha.
Ah, and why? How do you explain the Rambam? Why does he say Shegarish and Megarish Bishtar? Like why?
That's,
I think it's strange to, and I think the Rashba is also strange, the Shut Rashba about Mechave Lavin being the mitzvah. No? Josh?
If you read the Rambam, it's just like when he says to you, I'm dead, he's really just throwing that into really just emphasize that.
There's no way. I'm saying the Rambam is so consistent in three different places about the significance of Get Bichsav. I just think it's there's too much work to dismiss his consistent emphasis on it. Okay, so let's now flesh this out a little further, this idea of mitzvah versus rishus. Let's take a quick look at Tosfos on Gittin, Sadi Amud Beis. So we have rishus versus mitzvah.
This is the
Hami
and
the
Gemara that
she's,
if the wife is
with
Chesed, then there's a
fee of Lagarsha. Then there's a mitzvah. It's not clear, because the Gemara is talking about if a woman does all these things.
It says mitzvah.
If a woman does all these things, then mitzvah Lagarsha. There was one of those things where the Gemara said, but if she does this, that's even more egregious, right? So Rashi said, let's look at Rashi said, if she's rochetes b'nei adam rochzen, or if she's rochetes b'nei adam raglam ledaver shazona hiva asura lo, that doesn't tell us anything about gerushin.
Just says that if
there's like a sota like infidelity, then there's actual prohibition from husband and wife. That's asura lebah, she's asura lebah, asura lebah. Tosfos flashes out Rashi a little bit. So tell us about this Tosfos in Sadi Amud Beis. Yeah. And not only that, he reads into Rashi, Imken Raglam Ledavar Shazonahi, Vasuralo, and then Vichova Ligarsha, Velo Mitzvah. So, what in the world is this phrase mean?
He has to do that to explain his answer. He has to say it's a Chova, because the whole point is that.
He's explaining the Halmi, right?
Right, but it.
So, if he was talking about a case of Rochetes Ibn Ayada, that'd be so egregious that that's not a mitzvah legarsha, that's a chovah legarsha.
I'm saying that shows his like his opinion in general is that it's only there's a mitzvah to be megarish on the rabbanan, but I think that's his pillar.
Why are you talking about rabbanan?
That's what he says.
Yes.
So later on, Tosfos has an issue with how to read the sugya in sota. But what's this distinction conceptually between chovah legarsha b'lo mitzvah? Josh.
Sounds like he's using the word mitzvah as a meaning. It's an optional thing that we want you to do almost, and like you can fulfill maybe like a kiyum ase by doing it. But it seems to me, I mean, it's weird to say that the Torah mandates that you divorce someone and it's not considered a mitzvah, which is why I figured you should probably read it as meaning. Usually, when the Torah commands you to do something, it's a mitzvah. So I figured it is.
You mean he's just distinguishing between levels of obligation?
Right, like meaning, I think in a normal case, he thinks that the Torah like wants you to get divorced, and you get scarred for doing it, but you're forced to do it.
So I guess another way of saying this is, what? Yeah. So take another stab at it, Josh. What's the difference between a chovah and mitzvah here?
That meaning, a mitzvah is like you know a key.
Like obligatory versus meritorious.
Yeah, that's a better way.
Is that what you want to say?
Basically.
So you can say also, Josh.
Yeah, I was also thinking about where does like kofin play into this, and like is a chovah just the beitin coming along and forcing you to divorce her, or is it like just another saying you gotta do it? And
right. So what level of coercion maybe would go into this?
Is there coercion, or is it just like Josh is saying that it's
Obligatory versus meritorious?
To say what Josh is
Rami, is that what you're gonna say also, or
you could say that it's saying that you have an obligation to divorce her for other reasons that are not related to general, typical mitzvah engagement.
Say more.
I mean, it's not even mitzvah divorce, usually the mitzvah divorce generally applied is an obligation separate from your wife because you're behaving appropriately, which is not the same thing as mitzvah gerushin.
You want to distinguish in like gerushin type things versus like a chiyuv that would originate outside of.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting suggestion.
The problem with that is they didn't say, well, I'm mitzvah.
Yeah, like, no, like, it's not mitzvah scarcity. It's interesting. Zul, do you have a comment on this? Or?
Yeah, so it's something similar to Rumi that it's just not, it's kind of like an external factor, therefore it's no longer mitzvah scarcity, it's just something else that you have to
interesting. Like if she's a zona, then that's already not a normal mitzvah's gerushin type thing. It's something stronger. That's the thought.
It's interesting.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's very possible. So let's think about that for a second. And then Tosis has a question. So take us through his question, Ezra. Oh, you walking out?
I'm just going to go, I really do.
Yeah. Some rough information. Abe, tell us about Tosis' answer.
It seems that maybe it's someone else should.
Okay.
So
Kiva, you want to...
What?
Just tell me what's his question and what's his question? What's he worried about from Sota Chafei?
Okay, so from Sota Chafei, it seems that it's saying it's a mitzvah, where the Rambam seems to say it's chiyuv, or aser. And it seems to ask the question, why is it a mitzvah? Why is it a mitzvah there? It's aser here. And it seems to say two answers, either that the mitzvah there is a rabbanon to get divorced, and the iser here is the raisa. Or that the mitzvah, it only requires a lashon mitzvah there because we don't need to say it's an issue there because no man is going to not end up the same result of it being an issue. Meaning, if it's a mitzvah, the man will still divorce his wife.
Well, this line here is reinterpreting our Gemara differently from Rashi, right? That rochetes in bnei adam, just like a psychological observation, that nobody would, it doesn't fall into the midos breakdown in our Gemara. Because nobody would stay married to such a woman.
Right, that's why it's going to be us, or just a little bit.
Right, Philo Kalash of Akalos wouldn't do that, right? But tell me about this, Kasha. So read this phrase for me. So what does that mean, Chovel Agarsha Vola Mitzvah, the same phrase?
It seems like it's not his choice. I don't think this mitzvah is like huge. I think this mitzvah is a sense of obligation, but I don't think it's. It might be like a more moral sense of obligation instead of a chol, which is an actual like legal sense of obligation. Like it's really got a fairly great look.
Yeah, Tosis is like kind of.
He's wondering, on his. I don't know, this is not in Rashi, right? We don't have this Gersa in Rashi. It's Chol Balagarsha.
But you think that's a Gersa thing?
No, you think it's an interpretation?
You know, it was an interpretation.
Okay. Kind of weird. He's criticizing Rashi for saying Kobo Lagare. Yeah. Right? For saying Kobo Lagare.
Wait, where?
First line. He's saying about Surla, but Kobo Lagare should have missed it. He's like, wait a second. It's a Kobo Lagare. This is also a Kiyo Lagare show, even if it's just Dasi Udis. Right? Forget about Rochetta Simbine Adam. I don't understand why Rashi. So I don't know why Tosis infers that from Rashi and complains about it.
It's a logical conclusion.
Yeah, there's an Isser in your thigh.
What else would Rashi mean?
Is that true? There's an Isser.
Yeah.
Then what does the Gemara say?
You think if there's an Isser, then there's a. Well, Tosis' last sentence is maybe Gemara just saying that nobody, it's a medial thing, nobody. If she's Rochet to somebody, then you don't need to. Three midos, right, of this book to conceptualize it. Nobody in the world would stay married to this woman. That's, but then he's saying, oh, if Rashi's saying she's a Sura low, then he has a Chi of Ligarsha. It's not a mitzvah. It's very confusing. Damn,
I mean, a Sura low just means you can't be intimate with each other. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be.
Yeah, is it obvious that if there's an Isser, that means that there's an obligation? So let's say there's an Isser Yichud. So if there's a mitzvah or an obligation to divorce.
Is that true that once you're like Dab Ligarish, you have to divorce her?
Well, it's not Dab Ligarish. I guess the thought is once there's an
Isser
Yichud. I think the thought is that he's saying, Rashi's saying, look, once there's Snus, then there's an Isser Yichud. There's Nisr Yichud, then it's almost like willy-nilly or by effect you can't remain married, because how are you going to live in the same house if you're prohibited to be secluded together?
In case he's in Gittner, he sends her a gift to Shaliyah, and she's in the dinner.
different country. It seems to be married at that point.
Ah, that's fair. Yeah, so fair. I would just say that yes, it's this inference, and Rashi says that's super low. This inference is a little difficult to make sense of.
It seems to be obvious.
You say, oh, because she's Asura Lo, then there's a Chiyuv L'Garish. You might even say that the point is, like, it's like circumstances require a divorce rather than, to go back to Daniel's point and, was it Rumi's point? That it's not like the laws of marriage in turn, it's not a Hilchos and Hilchos Ishus or Hilchos Gerushin that compel the divorce. It's just almost like now it's impossible for them to have Ichud. So logically it stands to reason that we have to compel a divorce. That's one way of doing this, Rumi.
We can't even say like if he has a Kiev owner and they have a business Ichud, so then he can't.
So it's not clear that failing to being an inability to uphold Ona means it's a chiyuv or mitzvah garish.
Doesn't that say that?
Well, I mean, so like,
if he withholds.
Presumably, that means if the wife requests it, right? If the wife requests it, then kofin also legarish. Like same for all those mishnayos and ksuvos that we're going to look at. Just because he's a tanner doesn't mean that we force him to get divorced. It's if the wife complains that she can't stand him. I think the same thing in the Ona cases. Like, I think it's settled halachic doctrine that they could agree to not be intimate. So same here. Let's say she's on it. And they have an Isra Yichud. So that's like Kiva's point, right? That why can't she move to, I know couples like this, that it's too expensive for them to get divorced. So they just agree to live in different homes. And then they'll go to some coast together every now and then.
It was obviously not the ideal marriage. So the whole point is that, like, I think, like, after everything you saw, I think it only is such a big stretch to say that you can't be happy with your wife. There's a whole bunch of...
Okay. Maybe that's what Tosis is getting at. I'm saying it's very cryptic, and it's not in Rashi, right? And if you go back for a second to this Rashba that I glossed over, let's go back to our Rashba, Aleph Tafkuf Nun Zayin.
Let's see this back and forth for a second. Similar issue at bar here.
What's the time about this Rashba? I'll talk about this design.
Yeah. In case of the erva, do you have to consent of the wife?
Okay.
Really
give us background. What's this happening to me in Gershom?
In Gershom says when you divorce women, you also have to have her consent.
Yeah.
To be popcorn fun.
So, we know this one of the takanas of me in Gershom is not just about monogamy,
but reading people's mail.
What?
Reading people's mail.
Actually,
right. We saw that last year.
But yeah, I mentioned that last year. Right, has agreed, yeah?
Does that apply to
WhatsApp
or no?
Tuva, WhatsApp. Good question.
It's a lot of nice.
Is it?
I don't know, like you're learning and sometimes a WhatsApp will learn.
I'll maybe share my radio show to explain why when you're learning.
Not to me that there's a chair.
Ah, right there. I told you David Berger's joke about Andy and Gershom, about the guy who's learning yeshiva last year, right? Maybe like
I love this joke.
Yeah, the guy's learning yeshiva, and
I guess he was far away from his home, but he had a kid, and his wife sent a letter to him saying, oh, we had a kid, and the bris is going to be in 8 days. Maybe you want to come home and be around for the bris. The Mashgiach didn't want the Bashiva didn't want him to leave Yeshiva, so like when the letter came to Yeshiva, the Mashgiach like pulled it out and read it and just like held it and didn't give it to the guy. And then like 3 months later, he goes over to the guy, I guess he hadn't been home at all, and he says, oh, by the way, this letter came from your wife saying that you had a son like 3 months ago. Maybe you should like give her a call. So the yeshiva, the guy looks at him and says, the bacha looks at him and says, which wife? So the yeshiva has a heart attack, like, which wife? Like, what's wrong with you? Cheir and Darina Gershom. So the guy says, yeah, Cheir and Darina Gershom. Because reading mail also is like part of the same cheir. But the yeshiva was so worked up about the monogamy thing, you know, didn't care about the reading mail. So it's a good retort from the yeshiva guy.
Yeah,
it's a
true story.
I
think it wasn't one of the
three
classes.
Yeah.
What
did
you say?
I said the certain time is even better. Yeah. So, I guess another part of that theorem was that you can't divorce a woman without her consent. Right? Now, that's ambiguous. The language of the Takana, I'll give you different, there are different versions of this Takana. I just created a book in my office. No, so we don't have any evidence of the original thing until like 150 years later when Sherman quoted. And we don't have like contemporaneous. But like there are different versions of it. But this it says basically, and Shemar quotes this, that you can't divorce a woman without her consent. That's Karen Devane Gershom. Why was Rena Gershom attacking this? So I just want to flag this as a bigger question to pursue. Why do you think he flagged in Megash Nesisha Ella third zona? Mikra Demita Raisa, all you need is the Ratzon HaBaal. You don't need the consent of the wife. Josh?
Yeah, I assume he was trying to protect the woman from the husband that's just marrying her.
Yeah, so we'll look at the language of the Tanakhana, but it's very clear it was to secure marriages, to make it harder to get divorced. Let's give you one formulation quickly that we have on the Mar Makomo sheet. Anybody see the Meiri on our Sugya and Daf Tzadi? Look at this Meiri. Afal pisha gershin meruchakim. This is on page 37. Vinimasim b'makom she'ein sham siba kol shero b'ishto tachsisei pritza shehem sarsure zima mitzvah lov legarsha. That's one gloss on our Gemara. Goes through the three different midos. Aval amegarish below siba haruya lekach sanoi umeshukatz umetuav. V'kvar hecherimu roshei hayeshivos v'gdolei harabanim mizman akadim. That's Rabbeinu Gershom. Yeah. Al kol misha yigarish al karcha ela imkein b'haskamas tuvei ha'ir. So they made a chirim that you can't divorce someone without her consent unless you have the haskamas of a tuvei ha'ir. It's something we saw last year a little bit also, but the representatives, like the gvirim, the town council, they have to be on board for approving the divorce. V'ach beharbe mekomos hishtadlu gidoleihem im hamalchios v'hashultonios shalahem liknos kol hamigari shelo b'haskamas ha'isha o b'haskamas tu be'ir knas gadol. Meaning, they would collude, the Jewish community would collude with the authorities to impose a financial penalty on any husband who gives a get without the permission of the haskamas tuvei ha'ir. Everybody see that? It's a major regulatory imposition on getting divorced.
Or
why?
Or do it. It doesn't sound like every divorce is going through the tuvei ha'ir. It sounds any divorce while Korf has to go through the tuvei ha'ir.
Any divorce while Korf has to go through the tuvei ha'ir.
Right, but a divorce that's
fair.
Mutual is...
Fair, but here, notice this. Let me just notice this. Kidei shelo yehe hapesach pasuach l'chol haba, meaning so that it shouldn't be wide open for anybody to come and get divorced. It's very clear, right? This is here to solidify marriages, right? Now there are a few points to make about this. One is, you could tie this into the theme that we started with about the why does a get exist? Right, what is the Torah? Oh, to make marriages more bekesher faza, like the Miri and the one version of the Hina. Right, so Rabbeinu Gershom is just building off that theme to make it even more difficult to break apart a marriage. Right? Not only do you have to write a get, but you now have to have the support or the agreement of this regulatory body. No? Yeah. Maybe also like Seth Bezdin in the Targum Yom Sun. Fine. But what's ambiguous here? What's ambiguous is, does this chirim apply to even cases of Erbas Zavar?
No.
not so clear. Right?
Presumably, either way, the Tuve Ayur would be okay with that.
Here he says, call the Karish. What?
I said, presumably, the Tuve Ayur would be okay with divorcing me.
So the way I read this is that, yes, even when you're Megarish for Erba Sabar, that's what he loves, Tuve Ayur. That's one of the things that they weigh in on. They adjudicate whether or not there is sufficient Erba Sabar to justify a divorce. Right, so instead of leaving it up to the husband's claim, now you have somebody with, you know, financial penalties that's going to determine whether those grounds are valid. Right, Josh? Yeah, so I read this in Erie as saying, even in cases of Siba, right, because any case, kol megarish al harka, then you need to ask Hamas to be a year, ask Hamas to be the land, etc., etc. Yes? Okay. The question in the Tshuva Sarashva is a variation of this question. Once you have a Takana Rabbeinu Gershom, what does that block? Like, what does that apply to? Correct? So let's go to our Rashba. Aleph Tavkaf Nun Zayin. Shalta. Who's reading for us? Who's reading the Rashba? Josh, you are? Josh Pierre, go for it.
Shall Aladot Kiver Rubin, Shir Alad Varim, or Yubi Yishto, Shizinta. Inti Kenpa Zerubin Gershom, Shirley Yishab.
So it's not. You know that Rubin Gershom was Makrim Al Gari Shishabal Parfa. Does that apply even to cases of Erba Zavar? Maybe. Not clear. Right? Now, our Tosos was saying, maybe there's a difference between Koba and Mitzvah. The Meiri, I think, would say, yes, the Kehon Rabbeinu Gershom applies to those cases. And that's, but it has to be adjudicated by the two Meir, the Yidolim, to decide whether, you can't just go ahead and get divorced by Karcha, even in cases of Erbas Dabar. And Tikim Bezer Rabbeinu Gershom Shlei Garshana. Tshuva.
Ibra, Kol Ki Hai Dabna, Chas Hashav Shlei Takin Harav Shlei Garshana. Adarav.
So the Rashba's move is to say that no way. The whole Takana Rabbeinu Gershom is inapplicable to cases of Erba Sabar. It's applying to non-Erba Sabar type considerations. What's his raya? Delogar. Says Delogara. So that's a case in Yevamos, if you got a chance to see that. Where the Gemara says, like, her husband has good grounds to think that his wife was adulterous. The Gemara says, you go and zoom case. Now, it's not clear if that's obligatory or that's just midas chasidus to divorce her in those cases where the husband's suspicious. So his first pass is to say, what do you mean? The Gemara says, Tetzay in that case. And he thinks that that means that Rabbeinu Gershom would not have been talking counter to that. But then he says, oh, what if the Gemara just means Midas Chasidus? Afilim Timsa Lomar.
Afilim Timsa Lomar, Shem Midas Chasidus. Mikol Makom, Mikne Midas Chasidus, Motsia. Ad Yitzakin Arav, Shiloi Nahek Midas Chasidus.
I think it's a very weak objection. Right? The Rashi says, oh, maybe that Gemara is Midas Chasidus. Like, it's very pious conduct, the border. I'm just going to flag that for a second. The Rashi here is saying there are cases where it's just Midas Chasidus, they have divorce. Right? Is that like it? Is that even coherent? That's like a Hilchos Ishus type of thing? That this is like pious conduct to divorce in that case? Or does that mean that for your personal type of Chasidus, for your piety, right, like you will achieve greater levels of spiritual perfection, whatever it is, if you send away this bad influence? Midas Chasidus oftentimes connotes like personal spiritual rank. So, flag that for a second. But why is it inconceivable that Rabbeinu Gershom wouldn't be mitaking against what the Gemara sees as Midas Chasidus? If his goal is to make sure that marriages are more stable, then yeah, what used to be Midas Chasidus is no longer good, right? Because there's a counter consideration of the brutalness of marriages. So that's the Rashba, the Shoal is asking. The Rashba kind of shoots it down. The meiri gives us a nice in-between category. Right? The meiri says, yeah, the textual integration applies to all these cases, but you have some sort of panel of two-way here that gets to decide whether or not divorce is justified in this case. Everybody see that? Josh?
Yeah, so we're pointing out, even the first formulation where he says it's matzrif legarsha, it's not good enough to see that, even there, his rationale is his personal religious growth, right? When it's matzrif legarsha, k'desh lo yeh rasha tof beto, I mean, even that isn't really issued. That's about sending away bad influence from such.
Yeah, so we'll look at that. That's the implication of the Gemara Nivam of Garesh Leitz. Right, what's that, what's the underlying consideration there? Kiva?
Let's go back to our tosos.
So yeah, before we get that, let's get this phrase here, because it's also related to the Chiyuv Rishos distinction. And then he goes further and he says, "Oh, Mistavrali, the Shamin al Nemi Debe Shamai, Darmin al Gai Shadam Yishalim came out of Erbas Davar, that Lav Dafka Beidim, Mamish Kamar, Dim Kain Lamahutzach Hakasiv Lomar Lichavala Rishna Shashocha Lashuvakachta, Valu Asura Hilo, the Chayav Ligarsha Lichatchila." Very tricky phrase. Here too, like Tosfos, he says that if there's genuine Erbas Davar with Edim, how could the Psukim even have a construct where she would come back to the first Baal, right, where she didn't marry somebody in between? She's Asuralo, and Chayav Ligarsha Lefatchila. So here again, you get this assumption that if there's the Isser, then there's the Chayav Ligarsha. Notice he says Lefatchila. The ode, go ahead, Josh. Yeah. I don't know why there's a question mark here. Chayav Ligarish al Karcha, right? It's a rhetorical
statement, exclamation. If there's actually then there's a genuine obligation, Ligarish. So he thinks that can't be the interpretation of Bishamai. Why can't that be the interpretation of Bishamai?
Because I'm the one who said mitzvah, there was a fib.
Well, I mean,
He too seems to assume, he says, Elohachi kamar Bishamai, called mancha matzvah dvar mechorim b'shneidim, mitzvah ligarsha. It seems like they're all trying to carve out this category of mitzvah ligarsha. That's somehow less than a chova ligarsha. That's kind of what you get from Tosus' analysis, his objection to Rashi, and the deliberation within this Rashba here. Everybody see that? He's saying, look, if it's two Adim Shazinsa, then there's a fee of ligarsha. That can't be what the Mishnah outside is talking about. To my mind, it's not obvious why that can't be what the Mishnah is talking about. Like maybe ligarsha the Malinkein Matva Erva Sabar means that there's only license to divorce if there's a chiyuv to divorce. Like, I don't know why there's an assumption here that the Mishnah has to be carving out this separate category of rishus. Notice the Rashi himself doesn't even say rishus, I think he's talking about mitzvah. Right? Alhafi kamar bishamai kolzman shemazavat bar mechular mishnei in mitzvah lagarsha. Where does he get that from?
What the Shneidim part?
Mitzvah Lagarsha.
That's what Bishama says. Oh.
Does Bishama ever say Mitzvah Lagarsha?
In our figure?
What?
Mar says.
And Mar says it at the end, right? On her mayor.
In the Yerushalmi clause.
Does Shami say Mitzvah?
Well, it's interpreting. You could read the Yerushalmi as just interpreting what Bishama meant. Like, our Gemara is an opinion of every man. The Yerushalmi is interpreting what Bishama meant.
But wasn't Yerushalmi just saying maybe Rishus Ligarsha?
No, it sounds like...
So here are people in Mitzvah Ligarsha.
What?
Yerushalmi makes it sound like there's really not what Bishama means. Or Bishama would even say this case is a Mitzvah.
One more second. So let's do a little more. Chova Ligarsha. Where do we see... in this distinction, so we have Tosos, who's very insistent that Chova Ligarsha is a different species from Mitzvah Ligarsha. Tosos and Daf Tzadi, right? That's kind of the issue in Tosos. Agreed? Who else do we have on this distinction?
the Rashba in his Tshuva. Because he says, what does Beis Shammai mean? He says, if she's Asura lo, then it's Chayav Lagarsha. And moreover, if you have two Edim, Ibe Edim Mamish, B'chiyah Chayav Lagarsha. So let's read this phrase. Od. Hakarmi lo yigaresh ela imkein matza ba. A person shouldn't get divorced unless. And I think the thought here is that this is, that language of lo yigaresh ela sounds like volitional decision. Like there's some autonomous decision making going on there. Agree? Right. So it's a diakon. Hakla Amri lo yigaresh elin king. Bibe the mamish adarabba. What's adarabba? What's the opposite of what? Whatever.
Optional.
Right. I mean, it's not. So he has this diak that this phrase lo yigaresh elin king has to be some choice. That's the mitzvah, I think, phrase. Preska says that mitzvah always connotes choice. I don't know if that's true. The maybe they're trying to hear that intuition. Vive Edamamish Adarabba. Adarabba meaning that defeats this, right? It's not no longer a choice. Bechia Chaya Lagarsha Parfa. Right? The Mishnah can't be giving you advice because it's just a din that kicks in automatically. So this Shumas Harashba also has this distinction between Chova Lagarsha in the case of Beis Edim. And so he says, by that logic, the Mishnah can't be talking about Beis Edim, because then it's chova, not mitzvah. So Elamai, Elachi Kamar, Beis Shammai Kozman, Shematzah Badvar, Mechuarim, Mishnei Edim. The Mishnei Edim are not evidencing znus, actual infidelity. They're just evidencing, like, unscrupulous conduct, Dvar Mechuarim. And in that case, then there's a mitzvah Lagarsha. Everybody see that? So the Rashba, like Tosos, is very clear on this chiyuv versus mitzvah distinction. But this is about chova here. Tosos has it for rochetes in b'nei adam. And the Rashba has it for beis edim for dvarim mechuarim.
He says mitzvah
legarsha. Sorry, not for beis edim for dvarim mechuarim. I'm sorry. He has it for... Beis Edim on Bia, or Beis Edim on Mez, Beis Edim on Erba. Because then he softens it and says, no, the mitzvah's got to be a case of simply Beis Edim on Bar Mechor.
When he says mitzvah Lagarsha in that sentence, does he mean?
Which sentence?
Right, you know
no, non-chiyuv.
No, but that's.
Because this is what Beis Shammai means in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi. Again, that's the case of mitzvah lagarsha, not chiyuv lagarsha. Did
I say
that, Josh?
I could be making this up, but in the classic case of sota, isn't the husband chayiv? Like he's not allowed to ignore it, right? Like he's chayiv in that case to like do the meisota and stuff, right? I think I could be making that up, but like I feel like that's where they're getting the chiyuv from. Like I think in those cases, like you're not allowed to just leave it. Like if there is. You know, this worry of Znus, and you have this real issue there, then I'm pretty sure that the husband's obligated to get rid of it.
So look, that's maybe 2 days in the Gemara and Sota.
Okay.
About whether it depends on Kibbeta Dabal. Okay. We'll take a comment.
It also is, the difference between the Rashba and the Tosfot is that the Rashba is reading it into Beis Shammai's words.
Yes.
Tosfot is, I mean, it's within the world of Rebbe Meir.
Correct. Totally agreed.
Like, the Rashba lines more with the Yerushalmi, I think.
100%. Yeah, the Rashba is almost saying the same thing as the Yerushalmi in terms of softening the definition of Erba Sabar.
Yeah.
We could add the Rashba to this discussion here. And by the way, we could add, I think, the Smach. Because the Smach, I think, also has that softening. Let's see. Say Ligarish Esaisha Dichsiv Kimatzaba Ervas Davar, Ervas Davar Kigon Oberis Aldas Moshe. Right? Does everybody see that? Okay. So just to summarize very quickly, We have the views that are talking about, we have Yishamai, Erba Stavar, Yishami softens it to Rosh Hakrua within Yishamai. The Shit Rashba that we just saw softens it. Why? Because he's motivating by Lo Yagarish can't be Chiyiv, it has to be Mitzvah. And the Smach does it seemingly just, not clear what motivates him, but he thinks that that would describe the Mitzvah. The garbage. The mitzvah is the garbage in cases of soft erbas davar. Then we started to discuss this distinction between when does the mitzvah exist? Mitzvah garbage. We have three views. We have the Shit Rashba that the mitzvah is b'chayvei lavin. We have the Abarbanel, the mitzvah is when they are not properly suited. And we have a smach that the mitzvah is erbas davar of das yudis. Okay, so some three views about when is there a mitzvah to get divorced. It's all different from the Rambam's conceptualization that the mitzvah is not about when, the mitzvah is the method. And then we started exploring this distinction between mitzvah and chova legarish. We have two formulations of that distinction, Tosos and the Rashba, breaking apart mitzvah and chova legarish. And then what we're going to just begin with next time is the distinction between mitzvah and kofin ligarish. Okay, the cases of kfiya ligarish. To see how that maps on to chova versus mitzvah. Yeah.
How does the Meiri fit in? In terms of, is he only within like the Rashba? Is it just
the Meiri is a side point about the Takana of Rabbeinu Gershom, would that operate even to override Erbas Davar? That was the launch point of the Rashba's Tshuva. The Rashba said, Chas v'Shalom. That was his view.
Right.
The Meiri's version was, it doesn't defeat Erbas Davar, but it regulates it by requiring two day idea. All right. Okay, so we're going to stop here, and we will pick up on Tuesday with the rest of the Mepharos.